And now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker.
Go ahead.
Becky.
That's Becky.
Here's Becky.
Woo!
Yay! Wow, thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. Hi, Patrick. My name is Becky. I'm here from Visalia.
Hi.
I'm hoping that my sharing you my experience, strength, and hope might reach out to someone and maybe keep you from making the same mistakes that I made. I started drinking young, like, you know, a lot of us have. And it was fun. You know, it was fun in high school, and, you know, it was when, oh my gosh, do you remember what you did last night? And you were, oh, ha, 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 he, he, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, I kept drinking because it was fun. And then I started drinking because it helped me loosen up and actually be the kind of person that I thought you wanted me to be. And that brought a lot of attention around to me. And now that I look back on it, you know what? I really was just wanting to be accepted. And I thought that drinking would do that for me. So as the years progressed, it was back in the days when the cops would just pour out your alcohol and, you know, maybe take you home or just tell you, you know, slap on the hand. This was in Exeter. So, yeah, when I got to Visalia, I had a real abrupt awakening because cops weren't like that over here in Visalia. They took you to jail. And that wasn't a good experience for me, and I swore that I'd never do it again, as I'm sure many of us all have. So time would go by, and, you know, oh, I'm okay. I think I can do it again, or I'm not that bad, and I'll be darned. I got another one. You pay the fines. You do a little bit of community service. You know, it was nothing that I couldn't handle, you know. Since I've been 18 years old, I've had 6 DUIs. Right. One of them, I had my children in the car. They were maybe 2 and 3. 3 and 4, somewhere in there, regardless. Well, anyway, I was in a blackout. I don't remember driving down the street with the hatch on my van that had flown up. I just thought that I could see clearly, you know, behind me. But when I got pulled over, sure enough, I'd been driving from, like, Orchard Supply all the way to Lover's Lane with my hatch open and these 2 little kids in the car. So I went into an outpatient recovery. In that recovery, I stayed for 4.5 years. Loved it. And I don't know what happened. I was at my brother's wedding, and something just struck me wrong, and I thought, to hell with it. You know what? I'm not going to make it to 5 years. I will say AA, I got really strong in it. At that time, my husband was working like a parole officer, and when he was home, he was either sleeping or he was working double shifts, and I felt like a married single mom. So I got stronger being sober, and I wanted to go with the women to the coast, and I did. And eventually, I got strong enough to understand that, you know what, that wasn't the life that I wanted to live sober either. So we divorced. And those 4.5 years of being sober, just like the book says, it doesn't take long. 2 months, I got another DUI with my kids in the car again. This time, surprisingly, once again, I didn't get charged with child endangerment. They called my mom to come pick up the kids because my tolerance was so high, I was still functioning, and I wasn't in a blackout yet. So I did my community service one more time and, you know, paid my fines, and, you know, it wasn't anything, again, that I couldn't handle. So between these DUIs, as the years progressed, they started out like every 7 years, and I would get one right on the cusp, 8, I was clear. Then it went to 9. I got it on 9. Then it went to 10, and I got it on 11. I don't know how that happened. Grace of God, who knows? Well, I decided one night, a little over a year ago, that I was going to go to a bar out of town because I was bored and I was lonely. And I thought it would be fun. So I had gone over in that afternoon and shot some pool, and I knew the bartender, and everything was great. And I went home and slept for a little while. And when I got up, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back. That was pretty cool. I liked it. So on my way over there, mind you, I was going to Tulare, and I ended up way out in the country asking somebody how to get there. It was only, you know, Prosperity, J Street, somewhere in there. And I was way out there. And I asked some farmer how to, you know, get to where I was going, and he told me. And so I got there, and I was falling down drunk. I dropped my purse and all my cash. Everybody scrambled around, you know, and they kept it. Oh, drunk girl, rip her off. All right. So then bartender was like, oh, well, you know, poor dear, she didn't have any money, so here, have a drink, have a drink. And then we had beers out in the car, and by midnight, well, I thought I was okay. You know, I was still functioning, I was still shooting pool and, you know, keeping the party going. So I decided to follow a person who lived in Tulare, because I didn't want to drive all the way back to Exeter or back to Visalia, and I sure didn't want to leave my car. You know, somebody might have broke into it, ripped it off. Who knows? All right, I'll follow you. This gentleman was on a motorcycle. Not even maybe a quarter of a mile, I blacked out. He was stopped at a stoplight, and I hit him. About 50 miles an hour. And all I can remember is looking up in my rearview mirror and seeing him roll. And I thought I killed him. And all I could do, my car went out of control, and I went over to the side of the road. And I remember thinking, I killed him. I was screaming, my God, I killed him. And I don't remember any of the witnesses that were at that intersection. I don't remember the ambulance coming to pick him up. I don't remember the train that was going by because the lights were flashing. None of that. I remember them asking me where I was, and I told them. I remember going to the hospital where they drew blood, 0.24. And I remember going out to Bob Wiley and saying, is this a felony? And she said, yeah, it is. And I sat in that jail not knowing if I killed somebody. Was I going to be able to go home to my grandson, who was going to have his first Easter tomorrow? And then I'm sitting there thinking, this could be my life, the rest of my life, this jail right here. It scared the living shit out of me. And then we went to court in the jail. You know, they take you to court. And I was the very last one, and all the girls were saying, if they don't take you, he's alive. So I sat it out and sat it out, and they let me go, which meant he was alive. To this day, I still have not come face to face with that gentleman. All I know from police reports is that he had a fractured skull and he had some facial damage because he wasn't wearing a helmet. Now, that accident changed my life a lot. But I'm going to tell you, even after that accident happened, I didn't stop drinking. It intensified. Because I was fearful, scared to death every day when I went to that mailbox to see if there was a piece of paper in there telling me when I was going to go to court. And I didn't go to court for a year and a half. so when I did finally go to court, they put me on that 30-day monitor, and I was kicking and screaming, and there was no way I was going to be in AA. You guys, no way. I hated it. I wasn't going to quit drinking. I loved my beer. And you know what? I am so grateful that that anklet was on me, because I seriously don't think I could have gotten through those 30 days, even after what I had just gone through. I mean, is that sick? Yeah. That's where alcohol took me. So I've accomplished a lot, you know, this past year. I just hope that none of you ever have to repeat what I have gone through. And I hope you're not related to anyone that I could have hurt, because I also think, what if that had been a child, you know? Or any, it doesn't matter who, but something definitely greater than myself saved me one more time. I don't have another drunk, I'm so grateful that I'm able to be in this program, and I've made a lot of great friends, and I know that if I go back out, I can't hang out with all you guys, and I like you. All right? So I hope I was able to touch on something that can help someone out there, and I'm Becky, and I'm definitely an alcoholic. Thank you. This before, so I guess they're asking me to find out if anyone has any questions or comments. No? You, sir? I go to meetings and I hang out with the women. I meet with my sponsor, and I do a lot of reading in the big book. I stay connected. Can I help you? You know, the courts have told me that I can't. Yeah. I have. I truly believe there's an amends out there that needs to be made on my part. I mean, there's a lot of wrong in what I did. I suppose that will come up when it's supposed to. I haven't had that opportunity yet. Anybody else? I'm sorry? I'll have a year on Tuesday. I can't hear you, babe.
Are you going to start sponsoring?
Yeah. Yeah, I will. I will be.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thanks. Yes? I have worked all of my steps. Thank you. I have. Yes. Yes. And, you know, and I do work those steps in all of my affairs. Just the other day, I realized that I was quite shallow. And I tend to be falling back on some of my old habits, old actions. Like when I am lonely, I tend to call people to accompany me, and then now that I'm sober, I can't do it. I don't really want them there after all. You know? Add alcohol. Yeah, well, I'm sober now, so that's part of my self-esteem and my self-worth that's actually coming out. Michelle.
Have you noticed a difference this time? Sobriety versus before?
Yeah, this time I'm doing it for me. You know, I'm not doing it because, yes, the court's asking me to, but even when I don't have that court card, I'll still come. And before, you know, I did a lot of it to shut my husband up, you know, make sure that I could keep my kids. My kids are all grown. I've got grandkids. They're at my house right now. And, yeah, no, I this is for me. All right. Oh, yes, ma'am. Step four was very hard for me because I felt like a very horrible person. It's easy for me to find my faults. Yeah, that I wasn't even excited whenever I had 6 months because I just felt that, God, you know, that was there anything that I did do right? Was there anything for me to be happy about? Because, I mean, it really strips you down. Yeah. And so what I've learned to do, instead of beating myself up like I'm so used to doing, is actually try and find something good that I did do on a daily basis. Actually, there's a lot. If, you know, I stop and think about it and concentrate on that instead of just all the negative. But yeah, the steps I've found to be someone totally different by working the steps.
So,
you know, I'm still fighting a lot of battles. I have a license that I hold with the state of California in my profession, and I now have to fight for that too because I am a felon. So it's just, I don't know, everything has a meaning for me today, where before I really didn't care, and I didn't really care about other people or their feelings. And today, I do, and I'm proud of each and every person, you know, that tries to work this program, because it's difficult and it's hard. And when you guys take those 30-day, 60-day, 90-day chips, those are hard. Those are truly earned. Yes, sir. That's a hard question. I haven't actually identified what my higher power is. To me, I call it either the fates or the divine. I'm not a religious person, but there's something greater out there, far bigger than me. I know that. I can't identify it yet, but it's there. I'm working on it. Jody. Thank you.
Is that something you had for the years? Have you always known where you need to go?
I did. And my ego wouldn't allow me to come back because walking back through the doors of AA, knowing who I was and where by going out, who I became again, it's like groveling. And when people open their arms to you and welcome you back, I'm not used to that at all. You know, I'm used to, there's the door, get the hell out, and don't come back. And AA doesn't do that. And part of that is because we all realize that we all have the same disease. Did you had a question, you with the hat, didn't you? You had your hand up.
I did.
I read my meditations. I have the daily reflections. I have the language of letting go. And then there's a woman's book that I read that helped jumpstart my day. Thanks, Heather. Thank you. I have another question. I don't drink. And then I will tell you that has been hard because one of my triggers is anger. And the things I do different. You know, I have to keep myself busy. I've taken up crochet. When I first got sober and I was asking my kids this before I left the house, I said, what did I do? I didn't even remember. What did I do when I was still in that fog of my first 30 days, when I couldn't drink and I was kicking and screaming because I couldn't go to the liquor store? I colored. So anything just to keep my hands busy helps. Reading my spiritual books helps. Going to meetings, meeting with my sponsor. It's multiple things that keep me sober.
Do you identify the how you're relaxed?
Anger. Mm-hmm. And I can't go into detail, but I also got hurt in AA. I had to realize that we're all sick people, and sometimes they still have actions. But I also have to own my part in it. So, most of it was just done. I just didn't want to do it anymore. Okay. I'm sticking with the women. Yes. It's my crowd. And they have a lot of support. I love them very much. Okay, is there anybody else? Yes, sir. Let's see. I have had to go through an 18-month program with alternative services. I have also had to do DUI drug court. I am being tested, urine tested sporadically. At first I was going to court every Thursday. So that meant using my lunch hour, there was AA, the interlock device, sponsorship, alternative services. Oh, and I have a job, full-time job. Yeah. To get my license back, right now I have the interlock in my car so I can go anywhere, and that thing goes off all the time. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yes, sir. Excuse me? I don't. And I never thought that I would not want to drink beer because that's what I drank. And I was sitting at some races in Tulare between two people, and they both had beer, and the smell of it just, I couldn't stand it. And I thought, my God, is that how I used to smell all the time? And my daughter's like, yep, that's how you smelled, Mom. And, it may not be a good idea, but sometimes I will still, I'll smell it just to make sure that it smells nasty to me, and it still does. So, I've been around places, and no, I don't want it. I'm happier without it. Okay? All right.
All right, let's thank you, Becky.